Blog Talk Radio.
It gives me great pleasure to present to some, introduce to others, the CEO and the host of WBSW Internet Talk Radio, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, sometime called Dr. Lowe, Coach Lowe, the Love Guru. WBSW Internet Talk Radio have listeners and watchers in 21 countries.
All right, all right.
Dr. Lowe, let's make it do what it do.
Again, it's America is at a Crossroad Part 2. We're so excited to come before you. We want you to be a part of this show tonight. We want you to call in. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Again, it's 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line by identifying the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask you to give your location, along with you choose to give your name, and then you can just chat with me about what's going on. Also, we have our co-host that we hope and pray to have an opportunity to join us tonight. But we want you to make sure you have all the ways you can connect with us. You go to the web link, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/WBSW Internet Talk Radio. You can email the show at talkingrealtoyou@gmail.com. That's what we want to make sure you can communicate with. And I'm just hoping that my co-hosts are not struggling to get in. We're again showing and having an opportunity to do something a little different. You know, I'm kind of losing some of my connections here, but we're going to make sure we come back and make sure we make this thing do what it do. So I don't know why it's just having our connection problem, but sometimes it'd be like that. But we want to make sure you have an opportunity to be a part of it. Again, the email is talkingrealtoyou@gmail.com. You can tweet the show at talkingrealtoyou@WBSW_internet_talk_radio at Lorenzo D. Smith 15. You also have an opportunity to tweet the show at Coach with a K underscore L underscore Smith, at Dr. Lorenzo Smith with the number 1, at the Smith Wave Production. Instagram is very important, and we're being broadcast on one device tonight, and as partners with Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, Zeta Phi Sigma Agreement with number 10 is that host that allowing us to get on that Instagram page and share a partnership, sharing exactly what it says. It's all about talking about the neighborhood block by block. So we plan to have an awesome show tonight. I see one of the co-hosts is joining us, and I'm going to make sure I get her and put her live in a minute. But let me share with you those individuals who volunteer their time from time to time and share their thoughts and be a part of what we're trying to do on Talking Real to You Prime Time. We have joining from the state of Georgia from time to time. We have a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. That's Dr. Olivia E. Smith. Joining us from Central Alabama, that's a member. This young lady is a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. That's Ms. Lauren D. Smith. Also, we have joining from the awesome state of California, particularly Oakland, California, the lady that put the boots on the ground. We're so proud to have her to come in from time to time, whether she's on the internet or whether she's calling in to be a part of none other than the co-founder of Owning My Own Truth. And that's what it's all about, Miss Tina Robinson. Then from the great state of Florida, the southern peninsula of Florida, we have a young lady that really originally from Ohio, Cleveland. So that's the northern point you can get before you get into Canada. She moved to the southern point, I guess, for that weather. But we appreciate having this young lady as a part of us, and she's working with young people every day. None other than Miss Lisa Levine. Last but not least, and I know she's on the line, I really appreciate her taking an opportunity to join us tonight. She hails for the great state of South Carolina. She's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. None other than Miss Scarlett H. Black. Scarlett, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm so glad to be on tonight. It seems like it's been a while, and we're so glad to be back. And hope you're doing well, and so glad to have our listening audience with us, too.
I'm glad to really have you with us tonight, and hopefully the other individuals will join us as well. It has been a minute or two, but God works it out. He makes it possible that we can do this. So we're thankful for that. So, again, thank you so much, Scarlett, for joining us and being a part of our discussion we're going to have tonight or our chat. We also want to share that Talking Real to You Primetime is the only internet talk radio show in the country that brings you energetic conversation about political, social, economic, educational, financial, and just plain old life issues. It's all about what's happening in your neighborhood, all about dealing with situation block by block, whether it's international situation or national or district or state or local, it still has to be handled in your neighborhood, block by block. The show is also being broadcast not only on Blog Talk Radio, whether it's through the web link, but we're being broadcast on Facebook. Well, as I mentioned, Instagram. On Facebook, you can connect with us, facebook.com/DR, which is Dr. L. D'Alberto Smith. And then again, I mentioned about Instagram. I want to thank those individuals already joining us. It's good to have you on here. And that's Zeta Phi Sigma Greenbow with the number 10. Again, we plan an awesome show for tonight. I want to give a shout out to those individuals joining us. We have Jacqueline Davidson. Thank you, Jacqueline, for joining us. Jacqueline is down from McKenzie, Alabama. Thank you so much. We also have Moss, I'm sorry, Ara Moss, 229, joining us. And we got underscore Hoptown 567. So we appreciate each and every one of you who's slowly coming in, sharing your thoughts, and ready to type in your comments through Facebook or through Instagram. Scarlett, I tell you, it's just been a whirlwind of this thing that's been going on since the beginning of the year. But we do want to say we are thankful that God has blessed us to allow WBSW Internet Talk Radio to have listeners and watchers in 21 countries, including the United States, north of the border of Canada, south of the border Mexico. So we get ready to make this do what it do. Scarlett, so far we'll be doing this together. We'll team up and we'll get the best out of this, and we'll give our best. And we, like the title of our show is America is at a Crossroad Part 2. Last time we talked about some things, social issue, educational, economics, and political, and we'll just kind of adjust it to what was actually the hottest topics now, and we want to talk a little bit about it because we truly, truly have to be able to voice our opinion to see exactly where we are and how we can continue to improve. Whether we believe others want to do it or not, we have to be willing to start in our homes, work our way through our communities from block to block, then move forward to the next level to make changes. So we're going to talk about America is at a Crossroads, Part 2. We want you to be a part of the show. We give you the call-in number again. That's 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line by identifying the last four digits of your cell or telephone number. Actually, give us your location, and if you choose to give your name, we'll gladly accept that. Then you can join the conversation and begin to chat with Dr. Lorenza D. Smith and Scarlett H. Black. We're the only two on right now. So, Scarlett, we want to look at some of these issues, and even though I sent out the format, sometime I may want to bounce around just a little bit because sometime out time or get away from us, and we don't get a chance to get all of the topics of discussion, but we do want to get as many as possible. I really want to get your thoughts, Scarlett, as well as our listeners. You can type in your comments in regards to President Biden's nominee for the Supreme Court. What direction would this nomination lead by adding the first black woman to the Supreme Court? Truly, truly, what is your thoughts on that? And I will share mine after you do it, Scarlett.
Okay, well, before I get started, we'd be remiss if we didn't, if it's okay to send our thoughts and prayers out to the Ukrainian people who are going through some really desperate and serious situations right now. And because we are an international audience and radio block show, and we have members that listen to us who are in European countries, we just want to add our wishes to our thoughts and prayers with the Ukrainian people. And just know that they're not alone. You know, people are really rallying behind this country. In terms of the question about the Supreme Court, it's another promise kept. President Biden said that he would nominate a black woman to the Supreme Court. As with many other things that he has mentioned, he is trying his hardest to make sure he keeps his word. And this is one word that he did keep. For those who think this is something that's some type of anomaly, it's not. Because President Reagan and other presidents also said they were going to nominate women to the Supreme Court, and they did just that. So he's not doing anything that's different than what he is letting folks know what he plans to do and that he's doing it. I think the nomination is all the women that were nominated, the black women that were nominated. As you know, Judge Childs from right here in South Carolina was a strong contender also. It was someone that was brought to the table by Representative Clyburn. But all the women that were nominated were very qualified, highly qualified, and worthy of the nomination. His selection and the person he's chosen is someone from the D.C. courts. She's been appointed to the appellate court and went through that nomination process not long ago with flying colors and was highly touted as a great candidate for that position. And I don't see where there should be any difference now because she's still the same person with the same ideology. And from what I've read, I did do quite a bit of reading about her, that she is a follower of the Constitution and the law. She's not political, and she follows what she perceives, you know, that she, with that as the law. So I think it was a great choice. Anyone would have been a great choice, but I think that his decision and the vetting of her, I'm supportive and just so glad that that could be done. She is clerked with Justice Breyer. She's been one of his clerks with Justice Breyer. So he's looking for someone, I think, that shared that same ability on the court. And she's certainly, Justice Breyer's retiring, and that's why we have an opening now. And I think that because she clerked for him, that was a big plus.
Exactly. And I agree with you 100% because, you know, I felt like all 10 of them had their strong points. Even though the judge from a Supreme Court judge in the state of South Carolina makes your child, Judge Child, even, you know, another strong, very strong possibility. And I think either one of them would have been in line. I don't even see it being any kind of challenge because the majority of, we'll say 60-70% of the individuals in the country is really in support of this. And sometime when we can get that, instead of being on the negative side, below 50%, that's always positive. But as we look at the future, we can see that it's really going to mirror, the Supreme Court will eventually mirror how this country is, the population of this country. And to move that, make sure that Judge Jackson is included as a part of the Supreme Court, it's beginning to mirror really where we are and where it has been all the time. To make that step, take that step, I think she'll do quite well in the confirmation. There'll be a few challenges here, but I just believe when things are meant to be, to change, to come about, it will happen. And I believe truly that the confirmation will come without any problem. There may be a little chatter, which is understandable. It will be chatter, but the bottom line is, the majority of the individuals in this country believe it's the right move and believe it's the right choice. So we want to be able to see this future even expanding more what a Supreme Court mirror how this country is, instead of being mirrored at a certain way for so many years and things begin to change with each one of those former nominations that come in that include people of color as well as minorities. I think that is really, really a sign of true things that we're trying to move in a direction that we need to move in to come together as a country, because we begin to see the actual look at the highest level in our court system look truly like how America looks. So we really applaud President Biden for holding to the promise of making sure he nominate a black African-American woman to the Supreme Court, and the choice was good. So I really applaud him on doing that, and it looks to be the future is going to be bright regardless. Just as we was in the pandemic, I was telling people in 2020, you know, 2022 is going to be where we can move in a direction because people get changed as well in regard to mask mandate. My area may not agree with it, begin to change and get back to some normalcy. So to have to begin to happen, I just think that we will continue to work together, stop fighting each other in some cases to move forward, which is not that I have my way, you have your way. It's having the way of to represent everybody, and ultimately what we're moving to. We want you to be a part of it by calling in. Call in number is 247-857-4100. 972. Press 1. We'll make sure we get you on the line by identifying the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask you to offer your location, then your comments, your thoughts, your question. You have that opportunity. All right, Scarlett, we're going to kind of, we have a format, but I'm going to just jump around just a little bit because I think this is something we started talking about, and we talked a little bit about it last time we was on the air in regards to discussing why parents should be included in the decision process of what their children learn, or just that the total education process. And I want to say that, and you know, as an educator, we always want the parents involved. To have some parents begin to get involved is a good sign, because I know some parents felt alienated from the school system and they didn't show up for whatever experience they had, good, bad, or indifferent. They was not able to put in where we needed. And I'm talking about all parents. I'm not talking about the affluent or elite neighborhoods. I'm talking all parents. Our children need every one of the parents to have a voice, exactly not only what they learn, but what's going on in the school. I think if we come up with, want to do things and implement things, parents should be on those committees. It shouldn't be just a district level decision excluding parents, meaning district leadership and not including parents. We always say that as parents need to be. I can remember when I was working at this program, we made it a point that the parent had to come in and make sure they sit in and have opportunity to share a part of the education, not just come for a conference every time, but have the ability to come and see exactly what their children was learning so they can help them. I think that's where we truly, truly got a challenge going on. Now, just think about in 2020 where schools are closed, and 2021 open, closed. Parents need to know, if you're asking them to be able to work with those young people, working with their children, you got to know exactly what's going on. They have to have the same information so we can all continue with the educational process. So parents need to be involved, not to come in and say, well, teach this, teach that, but be a part of the process of making a decision on what their children is learning. That way they can support the children. They can support the school. We have to have buy-in. We can't have exclusion and expect buy-in. Those are my thoughts. And, Scarlett, you can jump in right there.
Well, I certainly agree, and we've talked a lot about it on, you know, this show quite a bit, you know, about parents being involved, community leaders being involved. My only thing is that go in the right way, because right now we have a movement that is trying to ban books, burn books, remove books, which is often critical to a child learn to analyze and think independently for themselves or whatever, also a discourse or discussions. All this is part of education. And when we start doing that and allowing these negative things and political influences, which we already have in education, but even more of the negative side, to go in and start, you know, mess with curriculums and things of this nature when you don't have a handle on how curriculums are put together or why, and how we're trying to include all children in the educational process and learning process, and also making sure that the histories of cultures are intact and included, and that we are honest about those things. And so I think that proactive parents are certainly always welcome and needed, because often they bring information to the table that is very important to improving the school, to improving the classroom, and to improving their child's learning. So we certainly want to do that. And what the pandemic did do is shed a spotlight on things, Doctor, you and I have always known, you know, ever since we've been, you know, educators and even before our era, you know, things that were just lacking, certain communities, zip codes, things of that nature. And so I think that if, you know, people are really serious and sincere about their motives and the reasons they want to be a part of the process, that is always welcome, you know, but not to come and just throw a set agenda, political agenda, somebody's talking points that they've gotten at a community center in church or somewhere, and then they bring it into the, you know, into the classroom or try to bring it into the classroom. And that's what's disturbing a lot of educators now, is about being dictated to the curriculum, you know, that often many folks have not even been a part of working on or talking about discussing. And somehow the educator's voice is not being heard now. So I agree with that. We, you know, we want people involved, want parents involved, and want them involved in the right way, a positive way that's going to be beneficial for all kids and not just your child or that particular kid. You know, you want it for your child too, but the same thing you want for your child is the same thing other parents want for theirs. So you have to come to, you know, a balance and a meeting of the minds to make sure that we're all there for the right reasons.
And I agree with that, the part, the last part, you said the balance of the mind. And I just personally believe that people is open where people can, and you educate people, you got a better chance. We just can't have certain thoughts that fits what everybody else thinking. I always wanted everybody to be there, no matter what your situation is.
No matter what, right.
And I don't want us to ever get to the point where just because they may, because parents come to school to raise hell, I'm going to say that, and you, scholar, you can experience that. However, we need to find out why they want to raise hell. What is the reason why they come to school? Are they feeling excluded or left out? So my thing is to open it up, let everybody, whatever agenda they have, let them come, but you got to be able to educate them, be able to let them share their point of view, and it's better. But when we start trying to control that, which I think I have experienced and seen that has happened, because control might not be not letting them come, but excluding them from everything that goes on. So I think we're moving to the direction where we have to be open. And if we're going to have an open door policy, I'm saying as an educator, as a leader, I always had an open door. But we had a process of how you did that. It is not that you just come and just walk in anytime. And I think, but allowing them to be a part of it is real important. And I think as we move in now, this is the time to open it up to hear everybody, to allow that way you can start putting it in the right perspective as you move into the future. Inclusive is always important. Never a fear of being exclusive. And that's why I think we need to make sure we continue to get the parents involved. Let them come and share their opinion. Because they're going to share it anyway. And you know as well, Scarlett, you've been as a principal. Some parents going to come up there. Some going to act the fool. Some people going to do this. Some people going to do that. But they have an opportunity to come up because we have rules in place. We have laws in place. You can't just come in and disrupt the process. Understand what it is, but some intent is to. Some are going to come and find. But we want to keep it open. I feel if we're moving in that direction, we got to. Can't have a control level, because if you do, we're going to have the same problem we had in the past. And I want it to be a planned action where you get together and you talk. And we would like for them to talk in their community. I do. I want them to talk in their community. So when they do come up there, whether they've been misled or misinformed, they can come there. Now we can inform them. Now we can straighten them out if they're willing to listen. Because some going to listen, some not. No matter what we do, some going to do what they want to do. You tell a parent don't come up there with all that cussing, but they still come up there with the cursing. They still come up. So my thing is we just got to continue to keep the doors open, have the parents excited about coming, and we're giving them some, because we're more of a age now where we operate in the gray. We're giving a lot anyway, so let's open it up so they can be a part. I want them to be included in our decision process. I want them to be a part of, because that's part of helping their children learn as well. Once they got to buy in, you have a better opportunity to be successful. And a lot of times we see in an affluent neighborhood that's happening because they got buy-in. They in it. Like our magnet schools I talk about in Alabama and Montgomery particularly, those parents are so involved because they got a buy-in. They're all behind it for whatever reason it is. And I heard some because I used to be assistant principal at a magnet school. I talked to parents. Whatever their reason, just their child being there, that's prestige for them. But they're there all the time. We want that in our traditional schools. We want that in any school that where we are not having it, so our parents can play a major role. But you know, that's basically, you know, my thoughts. I want you to be a caller. That's 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line and let you share your thoughts about this. We want to hear exactly what you have to say. This is not where we will agree.
I was assistant principal at a magnet school, too. In fact, during the time when they sent up the first teacher with the space shuttle that blew up, that's where I was at that time, assistant principal at Magnet School. And what was so ironic about it, I agree with everything you said, was the fact that people were involved, and affluent folks community were very involved. But I was told I would have to do tours of the program. Kids from the neighborhood weren't there. Yeah, I'm all about everyone being involved. But you know, when you talk about inclusion, it's got to be inclusion of everybody. You know, so it's got to be just more than just a program. And services just for certain people, but then you got to hire everybody else. And I couldn't do that. You know, I just couldn't do that.
No one
because,
can do that.
You know, you have to see the school, the total program. And even though kids from the neighborhood may not have been in some of those affluent curriculums and programs, they were still members of that school. And that was their school, too.
Okay, well, and we have to make sure we do that as I relate to one of the situations right here, right now in the state of Alabama, especially Montgomery. Our kids get a chance. We got a certain number of the magnet school. You got so many can get in, and you got so many more that could possibly be in. And then they came up with a career tech where you're picking and choosing for career tech. Where are the students going to go? They're going to have to stay
there.
Yeah, where
they going
to go? But mm-hmm. that comes down to your leadership, too. Are you mm-hmm. really going to keep the door open? I said if they can't get into magnet school, why can't they get a career techno training? Don't close
mm-hmm.
the door yet. So that's why, you know, simply that would be enough to help them. So a lot of times in our program that have magnets or have the gifted and those various type of academic advanced program, we set a number, which is saying that everybody, you know, just if you don't meet that, it means you're not, you know, able to go. That's just like identifying schools as failing schools because the cutoff is 50. And somebody, one school made 51, and they are not a failing school, but a school 49 is a failing school. How can you make, mm-hmm. I'm glad they threw that out because I was in opposition. I was in opposition in the selection of the even through the magnet program. I thought every
mm-hmm.
school. So my point is I'm all for if you're going to put in settings that's going, but don't exclude the other 75%
right.
of students over here, and you're excluding 75% of the parents. So parents, that's what I'm saying, because their child is not there, and they don't have to play a role. We want this to happen throughout. And that's what I think when you open the doors up and include these parents, whether it's at the traditional school or the magnet school, because I've seen parents that would not come to a traditional school, but when their child got a magnet school, they was there every day. They didn't miss it.
Uh-huh.
So I just think we have to really get outside of the box and as the leaders to say we're going to open the door and we're going to opportunity to educate those individuals how important they are. If they, we know they're from a low income and you know some of the behavior is not the same as yours, you can't be afraid to communicate with them. You know, we used to do something in our school system many years ago when I was a principal. At the beginning of the school, we used to get all the teachers on the bus, and we would go around in the communities, actually see what the children, they'll get out of the bus, talk to them. You got to be visible to the point where people see you. You can't just think they're going to come to you all the time. And people complain about that. People complain today, you know, I mean, what you expect. The parents only know neighborhood sending their best they have.
Well, the folks, the parents in my neighborhood, when I became principal, they resented that. They said they felt like they were being put on display by the bus running through. And we looking out the window at them. They didn't like that at all, because it already said that you think that we're that different, you know, because we're in a low income area, that part of the other. So we stopped doing the bus tours and started inviting and having a meal throughout the day where parents could come into the school, and those that couldn't, we started doing home visits again, you know, to get out there. Because they really did, you know, until you actually talk to the community and the people that live there, you don't really know what their true feelings are. But we were able to find out the true feelings. They resented that rolling through on buses, looking at where they lived and how they lived.
But I also think is whatever, you know, process, we was in communication with them. They knew we were
coming. Yeah, you all did. We weren't
going there to see how they live. We was going to the community so we could be available. We even had board meetings in their community center, in their church.
We did too.
So it's how you present it to those individuals.
That's right.
But if you don't never communicate with them and you just ride through on a bus, yeah, they're going to think that we have
they
to be in the mode of communicating.
Yeah.
We have to be in the mode of talking with them. And it worked out well for us because we were going to time test scores went well, and we got involved because they know you was coming and you
right.
care. They care when you care.
Mm-hmm.
They won't care. And they said, well, why you coming?
Care.
Well, explain to them why you're coming in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming because the teachers really need to communicate with you. And you have to be there to communicate and know where you're going and know where your children are coming from because of circumstances. And plus, our other thing was riding the bus. Some of our kids, we found out some of our students were riding the bus for almost an hour and a half before they get school because it was a rural system.
That's right.
But you don't know that as a teacher if you don't get on that bus and go. So that's why I said communication is so important. To make sure the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and we'll make sure we get you on the line by calling out the last four digits of your cell and telephone number, and then we'll ask you for your location. Then you can share your thoughts. So that we just want you to be a part of it. With Dr. Lowell is Scar back and share your thoughts on what topics we're talking about. Now, we have a couple more topics, and we're really down. I'm looking at, I try to keep up with my time, looking at the process of 19 minutes, and I'm looking at my sheet and looking at it. All right, the next thing I want us to touch on is in regards to, even though it's dealing with education away again, but I want to put it in a way that is not sounding like that we're talking about the same going there. It's a discuss building supported relationships outside of the classroom. And I want to give you a prime example of how I think this really works. Young people, and I'll use, for example, extracurricular activities. If they're playing in a sport or participating in a drama show or an art show, that's outside the school hours. That teacher being supported by going by just to see their artwork, going by showing themselves, that kind of support and that kind of relationship outside the classroom means a lot to those students. I can prime and Scholar, you probably experienced it. Students see you sometime out in the community or in the mall. They want to say, that's my teacher, that's my principal. You know, just being able to communicate with them. But beside that, going to their football games, their basketball game, you say, I'm going to come to your game today. That's showing that supported relationship, so the support for what they're doing. Besides you asking them to come to school and work hard all day, then they'll get a chance to excel in another place. We're there to support. Those kind of relationships I'm talking about us being able to build as educators, saying that we're going to attend and then actually show up. It's by your choice what you attend, but let them know that I'm concerned about you beyond just the academic setting. I'm concerned about something that you like doing, and I want to be able to show my face and support you in what you're doing, building that kind of relationship outside of the classroom. Scarlett, you can share your thoughts on that.
Well, that was a good one, because we did a lot of that, and it made a huge difference. In fact, we contacted all the youth leagues that fed into our school. We contacted the artistic community also, so it was a collaborative effort between the school and the folks that they saw outside of the school. We did attend their events. Well, I can't tell you how many football and basketball games, the art shows, you know, I attended because I wanted them to see that I cared and that our teachers cared, and that made a huge difference. Those kids would just beam whenever any of us would show up at their other events outside the school arena. And on top of that, they beamed when their coaches in the youth leagues and in the drama shows going on in the community would come in to check to see how they were doing at school. So it was a strong collaborative effort, and it really did make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. We're talking about the whole child.
The whole child and the whole community.
And we have to kind of, as an educator, we have to get from behind the four walls, and some walls schools are built almost like prisons sometimes, and get out and be willing to go in the community. Just because your school is in a rough community, you made a choice to, and sometimes people don't, you're still getting the best that those communities have to offer. And those children are coming from, they live in everything every day. Every situation is not the same. You know, what the school that may be in a neighborhood in your state might not, our kids may not be in it, but they maybe still have a challenging home setting. But we have to make sure we support them, because once they come to school and they decide to be in an extracurricular activity, something on Saturday morning, something on Saturday afternoon, we have to be willing to do that. We have to make sure we're there to support them, because they care when they know you care. Just always remember that. When you show that you care, they'll be excited. And they'll come back to school with you as a teacher. They'll become that person.
No, they talk about it. Oh, yeah.
No.
You know, so-and-so came to my show and saw me sing, or came to my church Sunday morning and saw me do my solo.
Mm-hmm.
They love it.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that we got to, you know, sometimes educators got to be careful, because even though someone might live in maybe not where the type of home or housing or whatever that you may live, a neighborhood you may live, it doesn't mean that there's not love behind those walls.
Okay.
You know, sometimes I think we think that everybody is rough or whatever case may be because of a zip code. But there's a lot of love there, too, in a lot of those homes. And a lot of those homes have more than a single parent. A lot of those homes, you know, have grandparents who are also very supportive of their grandchildren and all these kind of things. So you just can't generalize what you think may always be based on what you see on TV or what you hear in the news. Which can be very depressing sometimes, and looks for the worst news stories. There's a lot of love going on in those homes.
Exactly. A lot of homes are awesome homes, even in a lot of cases led by one, a single parent, whether it's a male or female, and we all need to be able to support, and our young people have to know that we support them. And school have to go way beyond 8 to 3 every day. We have to work
right.
way beyond. I always told my teachers, you know, you're on a Saturday, you're there, you're a teacher 24 hours a day. I'm not saying you're going to somebody's house that time or whatever later on, but just remember, if they see you, don't act like you don't see them in the shopping center, because they'll see you and they're going to say something to you, because that's what they think the world of you. And they let their parents know, Ms. Jones, this Ms. Johnson right there, she's my English teacher.
Mm-hmm.
This coach, oh, that's my coach right there. And we have to remember building that relationship that supports those young people, support our students, is so important outside of the classroom. And we want you to make sure if you're an educator, even volunteer with various organizations or part of an organization, let's continue to build supported relationships with our young people. It's one of the things we regardless of, we went through the pandemic, and I know we're slowly working our way out of it, and people are taking further steps back instead of stepping in to continue to support our young people. We have to continue to do that because they need it. Our parents need it. See, sometimes we want to think about everything for that child and forget that that parent needs the same thing. If you, as an organization, bringing in young ladies to show them how to dress or showing them some things that are going to help them, what say not invite their parent? You know, because they may want to learn some things too, because, again, I go back, we used to open up our computer lab for parents to come in and work on their GED, you know. Have the door open and be available and have a system that is available for them to come in and be willing to help them. Support the children, support the parents, and I tell you, you're going to have better buy-in into your schools. You're going to have better buy-in. All right, the last topic, because we're down, started to about 18 minutes, but I want to talk about two things, and one of them is in relation to been this continued talk about the counsel, continued counsel of counseling of student debts. And there's been a talk about $10,000, $50,000. And I want to make sure I put the caveat on that. And this is for individuals who may have gotten a loan, because don't matter whether your parents in whatever situation, the cost was a little to the point where they couldn't afford to pay for it, so but they still wanted their child to go to college, and they had to get a student loan or parent plus loan. Those had to be paid back. So the idea that it was available to counsel loan or move for forgiveness on loan, my question is, should we continue to kind of see that as something that would help our educators, help our professional, help our adults, whoever who have a student loan, and see it that way? Is it, whether it's $10,000 or $50,000? If you got a $277,000 loan, $50,000, some people said may not seem like a lot, but it is a lot to continue to kind of help you get that loan out of the way, because they're moving to different ways now with getting loans. But I know it won't start back to May 1st. That you know, they're taking people's taxes. They're taking everything from you, even if you're still paying. Some people are paying, and they're still doing that because they want to get it paid off and out of the way. Scarlett, what's your thought in regards to the continued effort to counsel student loans, whether it's for $10,000, $50,000? We ain't talking about $400,000. We're just talking about just at least giving you an opportunity to kind of breathe a little bit, because we are in some challenging economic times, and we all have to make an effort to kind of move forward to see a way and maneuver through some, navigate some of the things that are going on today.
Now, you're talking about counseling debt for educators, or are you talking about just in general?
Just student loans for everybody.
The student loans. Okay, yeah. Very bad. Okay. For those that work in our system, and I need to check to see if the program is still going on. I'm pretty sure it is. if you worked as a teacher, you could get your loans forgiven for 3 years. 3 years worth of your debt was forgiven. And for those that worked, especially in math and science, we were needed math and science teachers badly. Personally, I think that with this pandemic and the fact that we have a huge teacher shortage now, I mean, teachers are leaving the profession left and right. Many are who might would have worked a few more years, even though they could have retired, are coming out. So this is now a very critical situation where you can't find enough of anything. And I think that some should be done across the board, across the country, in forgiving some of that debt. Now, in terms of just student loans for everybody, I think that personally, I would like to see it tiered, you know, where you have tiers, maybe for, you know, X amount of dollars here of debt, X amount of dollars there, you know, a certain percentage of what would be forgiven. To have a system like that, that somebody could really think through, you know, and process. I think for certain careers, I think that those who've been in the military, those who are firefighters, you know, who've been these essential workers through all this, I think that some consideration needs to be given to them. Who with their debt, I really, and for God knows, nurses and doctors for sure, EMT workers or things of that nature. Is that making sense? You know, that you take a look at those different professions, those critical need professions who have borne the brunt of a lot of this with the pandemic, and then to look at a tier situation where you could give a certain amount of debt.
And, just to add to that, I think, and I know that it's been in the place for forgiveness for teachers if you apply for it, law
right.
enforcement, firefighters.
Firefighters. Mm-hmm.
But I believe in this part of President Biden is to cancel all student loan debts for everybody regardless who it is. But they're only talking about 10 possibly up to 50,000. I just think it should be for everybody, regardless of whether you're first responders. I just think that will allow some of those individuals to get back on their feet, get themselves, because if you stuck with that $10,000 you don't have to pay, but it's being forgiven, that gives you a way to maneuver and move forward. So the ideal, I believe, is for everybody, you know, who just cancel all of them, and that way, not cancel the whole loan, but cancel $10,000 or forgiveness, you can call. Forgive them for $10,000. They still got to pay because some people have $200,000 worth of loan. If you get $10,000, I know that don't sound, but that's a start to kind of help you to put things in the right perspective, because it can be, you can be paid up to $1,000 a month for a loan payback.
Well, you can't so much your loan debt, your student loan debt that you can't buy a home, you can't get, you know, car, you know, things like that, because you got all your money tied up in trying to pay back your schooling.
Exactly. So just to alleviate $10,000 would be great for everybody. And a lot of times you're talking about young people, a lot of young people who can't even get in, got to stay in sometime apartment 3 or 4 with people. Because they trying to pay these back, because like I said, the way it is, and it used to be where people used to kind of get away with it. But now they're attacking, even if you're working now. You might be a young teacher working, but you losing your income tax. You know, a losing
so on
something.
So flip side of this, I think there needs to be a holistic approach or holistic look at higher education point blank. Because why are these loans and schooling so expensive to begin with, you know? Why are you having to buy $1,000 textbook, and sometimes it's not even a copy, it's online or something? Why are you having to do all that? So I think, you know, if you can pay all these millions of dollars for the sports programs at these schools, why is a student having to pay all this high tuition? So I think it needs to be, I just think it needs to be an exhaustive look at the whole higher education process, as you will with secondary too. You know what I'm saying? Because some of this stuff, some of these schools are just downright ridiculous. You know, yeah, you want to go to a real good school, and you should be able to go to a school that is your choice and your abilities. But to pay almost a lifetime of debt in order to do that, when why is the tuition so high? Why can you give, and no knock, because I'm a big sports fan, no knock against coaches and stuff, but some of these folks are earning, you know, like multi-million dollars. Sports program, the pair of coaches, a coach. But the brunt of it is being paid by those who attend the school to get an education.
Well,
it's too much.
Just remember, and that's another day topic on the sports show to talk about. But you got to remember that because of, just like you take for example, these major universities when they have their spring meetings. That money's coming from those TV rights. They're on every channel. That's why all that money, like those schools get $37 million, you know, take home per team, per school in that conference. So it's just a whole different thing. I just think that some schools are way above, but then again, when you're public and private, you know, you can charge whatever you want to charge that you think is best for your program. So that's a whole, but in regards to those student, canceling those student loan debt to $10,000 would be a good start. If it's $50,000, be even better. So that should continue, should come into play, that we can spend money on so many other things. I'm sorry, we do spend a lot of stuff on stuff. And this is something the government is trying to make sure Habakkuk, President Biden, said he guaranteed he will, and it's, he's going to make sure that happens. So we have to be willing to help those individuals as well.
I think he's doing more than anybody else has done to even get it to that point of even talking, having discussions about it, and trying to, and got in this last plan that he wants to do. Every little bit will help. I still think there needs to be a tier program for certain professions, and some of these especially the nurses and doctors and things of that nature, who are not from affluent homes. You know, they really need that break, because we need doctors, and we need nurses, and we need people in the mental health professions. We need social workers. We need all of this. And then you need to, you know, think about how you pay your teachers. So, you know, it all comes out. It's all in the same thing that we talk about, you know?
Exactly. All right, we're down, Scott, we're down about 2 minutes, and I'm going to ask you at this time to give you closing remarks, and I'm going to give a shout-out. We have a small list of individuals joined. We appreciate each and every one of you all joining us tonight. It's been awesome to be able to come back and share some things. And hopefully it was something you could take and use to your advantage in some sense. If not, it's just for your mind, your body, yourself. Charlie.
Well, it's always good to be with you and to be with our listening audience. We have good people and just so many folks around the world who have joined in to hear us, you know, express our feelings about things. And I'm sure that some, you know, agree, and some have their own thoughts about it. But again, at least it's up for discussion. That's the beauty of being an American and being in this country, that we can discuss and we can express ourselves without fear of retaliation or hurt, harm, or danger. That's the beauty of democracy that I love, and that I'm glad to be an American and someone of in as a Black American. And again, we thank our viewers, our listening viewers, for joining us. And we're getting back on track now. We've gone through storms and snow and all kinds of things, but we're back, and we're so glad to be back. So
awesome.
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you so much, Scarlett, for sharing that. We want to give a shout-out to, as I mentioned, RMoss229 for joining us, underscore Hoptown567. Then we have Brother Darrell Baker, who's joining us, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, Epsilon Theta Sigma Chapter. Thank you for joining us. We have Jacqueline Davidson that is joining us. Those are those individuals who took time that I can see their number. We got 7 people on the board, thank you, but I can't identify their number associated with a name, but they're listening, and that's what it's all about. We're extending our arms to you. We want to be available to share what knowledge we have, what thoughts we have, what belief we have, and it's truly the belief that this show is just a belief that we have and the thoughts that we have. We thank you so much for joining us. We will be back in 2 weeks. So we are excited about having the opportunity. Whenever the end of the month is on a Monday and it's the end of the month at the last day, we'll just roll with the next 2 weeks and we'll stay on the schedule as it is. Because next week will be truly the second week for our every show, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So we'll move forward. And again, Scarlett, thank you so much and all the individuals that's joining us. From time to time, thank you so much. Next show will be on Wednesday, which is our Talking Sports Plus prime time. Check it out. It went prime time, too. So we want to make it do what they do. It starts at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You'll have an awesome rest of the night. Truly, God has blessed us one more time. So truly, I want you to give your family a hug. Tell them to love them, because that's important to them. Tell them to love them. Also, hashtag communicate with them for understanding, making sure you keep on grinding, be responsible. We're still in a sense of a pandemic, even though I know our numbers are releasing and removing some regulations and everything, but we still got to protect our families. Let's do it by neighborhood or block by block. Let's make sure we have an opportunity to truly move into 2023 in the manner we're asking and ask God to bless us. So it's been awesome. We thank the Lord for giving us another chance. And as I always tell everybody, you know, I truly love you. And it really, really, I'm telling you, I love is from my heart, and that's what it's all about. WBSW is proud to have listeners in those 21 countries, including you as well. Thank you so much. Have an awesome rest of the night. And I'm going to say to you, as I always shout out, I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome rest of the evening.